Barbara, 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Glad you're here. Segment of the show brought to you by Lightstream. If you're thinking about saving money this summer, which if you're not, I don't know what's wrong with you, but for the 99% of us that are, why not start by paying less interest on your credit card balances? You can refinance with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. It's an easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars and lower your interest rate. Rates averaging 18% APR and going up, obviously, as interest rates are going up around the country. Lightstream's offering y'all with good credit a credit card consolidation loan from 5.89% APR with auto pay. You can also get your money as soon as the day you apply. That could be today. And Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. So say goodbye to high interest credit cards this summer and start saving with Lightstream. Y'all can save even more with an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get that discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan. And you know, I get a lot of calls actually back at my desk about this. So let me go through this slowly. It's lightstream.com/my last name, Sullivan. So lightstream.com/Sullivan. That's where you get the additional discount. Subject to credit approval, includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com for more information. All right, and good to have Jeff Poor. We have been working poor Jeff Poor. over the last day and a half as he was here yesterday on the Midday Show and, of course, our coverage last night from 8 to 10 for the election special and back in with us this morning. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. Just crashing your studio every opportunity I get.
No, I like that. And I'm looking, we all turned and saw a headline here that I want to get additional. You reacted to it yesterday. I reacted to it this morning. This is one of our monitors on at Fox News. And they're back to the Roby Bright. And I want to get into the stuff that's germane to our area in Southwest Alabama. But I think the story around the runoff for Bright and Roby kind of tells a bigger story of how national news groups have a narrative. And I don't know that they do it, and you can correct me on your opinion. I don't think they do it. They go, oh, I'm going to try to dishonestly portray something. But they come up with what they think is happening across the country, and they tend to, like, cram stories into a template even when they don't fit.
Yeah, I think they wanted to tie this to Trump somehow, this Roby Bright race. And the idea was, of course, Martha Roby, she backed away from her support right before the 2016 election when the Billy Bush Access Hollywood tape came out with Donald Trump. So did Bradley Byrne, but there wasn't that narrative. You could look at the two of them, Bradley Byrne and Martha Roby, two similar situations, but one, Bradley Byrne didn't have any opposition, whereas Martha Roby, yeah, that was the big story, and there were angry Alabamians, and she had, you know, she was forced into a runoff because of her support, you know, not supporting Donald Trump. So, that was never the case. I think that was just an excuse for some reporters to come back to Alabama and visit their favorite barbecue joint from the 2017 cycle. I was thinking it was going to be 12, 15 points. I didn't think she was going to have a problem. She blew him out of the water. I mean, it was like one of these vote totals you see, in some places where the token Democratic opposition runs against a Republican
in
Shelby County or something, right? And then but you had all these national reporters in the state over the last few days. And that was the stories they were filing. Well, you know, there's a lot of angry Trump supporters out there, and you can't cross Trump. So they were trying to make it like what happened to Mark Sanford in South Carolina, and that just wasn't the case. It's more complex than that. There's more politics involved, and Martha Roby is, you know, if you look closer at it, and you just kind of follow her around the district and the relationship she's built. She kind of owns that district. All the mayors, all the county commissioners, you go to these places where she does her public appearances. She goes to all these Kiwanis Club meetings, these Rotary Club meetings, and they seem to like her. And I think that's where it counts. It has nothing to do with this whole Trump narrative that the media, the national media, was trying to force upon us.
Do you think that she had to find a balancing act with, handling her own campaign as well as trying to let people know that she was still loyal to the president in spite of what was said a couple of years ago, that she had to spend extra energy, or was it a nice balancing act?
I don't think she ever wanted to, do that. She's I honestly don't think she likes Donald Trump. I mean, she's never been one to do like the other candidates we've seen in this Republican primary, wearing their Trump blazer or carrying a Trump sign. She didn't do any of that stuff. She didn't run on Trump, and she had the best result.
Right.
So she did. I think it was kind of more of a distraction to her. But once she got the Trump endorsement or the tweet, then it becomes a non-issue.
And the VP as well.
Right.
You know, endorsing her. So voters were more inclined to vote for her as opposed to someone who switched party affiliations.
Right. Was the guy that voted for Nancy Pelosi for House Speaker going to be was going to be the person that ends the Never Trump crusade through Alabama? I mean, that was just a silly narrative. And that was the one that's still... is the one the national media is kind of portraying. Wow, she just defied everything and ran against Trump. That's not the case at all.
Yeah, what when we get back here in just a little bit, do another part of your analysis. You had the five things you were looking for yesterday, and counties and turnout, that was a big part of what you said, and we're going to run through some of those numbers. Do want to go to the phone and the text line, and first up on the phone, Wayne is in Saraland. Hey, Wayne.
Well, good morning, everyone. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, Wayne.
Happy day after Election Day.
Yeah, we're recovering. Yeah, how about you?
Absolutely. Everything's cool. Two quick questions, and then I had a comment. I haven't heard anything about the number of provisional ballots in Mobile County, and I was curious as to what that number may be and if there was any indication of when they would be counted.
They gave us a large wind on that this morning. It was like
I believe it has to be counted. They're counting them by next Tuesday. I think they have a week after the election to count the provisional ballots, I believe.
Well, they said that where they had the automatic trigger in the Hambright-Satterwhite race, but and I saw something else maybe in the 102, but we don't know that that's going to be a recount yet or not.
Yeah.
So at least in the case, we'll say, I know for Hambright-Satterwhite, it's within a week.
Within a week. Okay, great. And my comment is simply this. I'm active in Republican politics in the county, and I'm on the state executive committee for the Republican Party. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, I'm embarrassed at the turnout yesterday.
Yep.
And in the primary. You know, we Alabamians and people in the South, you know, we connect more with the Republican Party than we do Democrats, which is a change from 40 years ago. But the fact that we had 9% turnout in Mobile County,
yep. We
ought to be embarrassed.
I agree with you.
Ashamed of ourselves, because I know my son, when he was in the Marine Corps, well, he's still in the Marines, but when he was in Iraq, he served as a security detail when they were having the constitutional referendum and the national elections for the first time in Iraq, where they could vote for somebody besides Saddam.
Right.
And he said, It was 100% turnout. Those people over there wanted to vote. They wanted to vote in a free election, and we just take it for granted. And I'm going to be honest with you, as a diehard Republican, I'm embarrassed.
And I'm with you. And I, you know, when I said 9% is my pick there, I said I didn't want that to be the turnout. I wanted it to be higher. I was just, you know, playing the betting game. But it is. It's bad. You know, people say, well, it should be 100%. It should be over 50%. But heck, can we break 20%? I mean, people say, well, this is not of interest to many people. These are the races that affect you most closely. It's what drives me crazy always. There's so much interest in a presidential cycle and not near the interest in midterm cycles. And quite often, these are the people that govern most closely to you and make a bigger difference in your life.
Absolutely. You know, when you have races like the circuit judges and district judges, but also, you know, in the case of Baldwin, county commissioners, or we have, you know, agriculture commissioners, you know,
they
set policy.
Yep.
The attorney general for the state of Alabama, you don't think that's important enough that
it's
maybe the legal direction, you know, the legal policies that come out of that office don't affect us? Oh, it does every day.
There we go. Yeah, Wayne, I appreciate the call. Yeah, Jeff?
Well, I was going to say, Do you really want the? Do you really want high turnout? Well, do you want people voting that don't know what is going
no,
on?
No, no. I want no. This idea of go vote just because you can.
Yeah,
I don't want that either. I will actually try to. I will disenfranchise. There you go, Colby. I will disenfranchise you if you don't do your homework.
Man.
But I do encourage you to do your homework and then go vote.
The civic duty of going to vote, but. Your vote counts more when other people don't vote.
No. Listen, as a strategy, it works for the individual. What right. I worry about is if this is a thing over time that erodes and erodes and erodes, and then you have, you could have a last-minute surprise trick, dirty trick thing play out and have a bigger resonance in amongst a voting public than you could, you know, if you had more people showing up.
Right.
All right, you two. I'm going to break up this bromance that has extended from yesterday. I'm going to add something, and that is this. I would want to know from Wayne as to, he's saying he's, you know, embarrassed by the turnout yesterday, but what would he say to those who are going to be voting in the primary? Like, how do you encourage your fellow voters to get out there and stop bumping gums about what you want to change and make it happen? That's what I want to know.
But it was raining.
Stop it. The minute those raindrops came down, I thought of you. I said, there goes the bet. I'm gonna say that. Congratulations, Dalton.
It was raining. Well, by the way, Wayne, appreciate you, girl. When we get back, I want to throw this up and hear from you as well. 9% turnout for Mobile County, but 15.57% turnout for Baldwin County. And, you know, what caused that difference?
Hey, thanks, Kane. 823 now on FM Talk 106.5. And this glorious segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. If you're a small business owner, you already know, you don't need me to tell you, that the right hire can have a huge impact on your business. Of course, the wrong hire can also have an impact on your business. That's why it's crucial that you make your job post reach the most qualified candidates that you can reach. Could try posting on job boards, but if you do that, do you really know who sees that posting? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce. And unlike job boards, LinkedIn is a community that career-focused people visit every day to grow professionally and explore new job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, their recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. And those insights are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. It's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. And right now, if you go to LinkedIn.com/WAVH, you'll get $50 off your first job post. Once again, that's LinkedIn.com/WAVH for $50 off. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
All right, 824 FM Talk 106.5, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Also got a note here, Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall will be calling us here shortly. to talk about, of course, yesterday and the win over Troy King. And I thought this was interesting. Jeff Poore in studio with us. Yesterday, one of your five things you're looking for in that list you put out at Yellowhammer News, one of those items was, first of all, looking at Limestone County, using Limestone County as somewhat of a neutral arbiter because they didn't have additional reasons to be out and voting. And so, first of all, the turnout in Limestone County is 13.16%. Okay, Mobile County, where we had these judicial races, is at 9. So back to Wayne's point, Limestone County doesn't have additional incentive to vote yesterday, but they're at 13.16. We're at 9.
Well, here's the problem. It's a much more Republican county.
Okay, yeah,
look
Limestone is, yeah.
Look at Mobile, and it's
probably
50-50. Yeah, it's probably a 52% little...
52% Democrat? 51%?
No, it's probably a little more Republican. You look at the city of Mobile, it's probably more along the lines of closer to 50-50, maybe 40-60, but you add all the places in the county and it evens out. But the like a Limestone county is going to have a higher, you know, percentage just because all of their voters tend to be Republican, so the Republican primary is, you know, you had more people participate in that first Republican primary. You don't have crossover voting. So that will drive up turnout because you just have, you know, a bigger percentage of Republican voters. And that would be the same thing you would say why Baldwin County had a higher turnout than Mobile County.
Yeah, and significantly, though, right? I mean, it's not just by a few percentage points. It's 9% to almost 16%.
Probably a more honest number would be to look at turnout among Republican voters, if you were able to compile that. And you look at the percentage of Republican voters that turned out in a Republican primary, just given the dynamics of the state, I mean, I don't even know if there were any races on the Democratic side, you know, that were, you know, at least that were in the news as much as these. So that has a lot to do with it, because that's what kind of drives the news cycle. But what I would say, though, is more people will go out to vote with all that on the Republican ballot, and that causes the numbers, you know, to vary so much. You know, if you look at the more Republican leading states versus the Democratic leading states, Bullitt County in East Alabama, very heavily Democrat. Union Springs, 2.8% turnout.
Wow.
So how
wow.
do you, you
yeah.
know?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Looking through some of the statewide races, and people were asking this morning, y'all, what surprised you? What didn't surprise you? I don't know that I was surprised, because I saw so many of these races as being very, very tight. I guess, okay, what would surprise me is that there was, well, obviously for the Roby stuff, but that didn't surprise me. This one, Twinkle Kavanaugh, Will Ainsworth. This one is, as the statewide races go, the tightest of them. When we're talking about just a one percentage point difference between the two. Will Ainsworth had the attack ads against Twinkle. Twinkle had the attack ads against him. You have Twinkle Kavanaugh as a known name in Montgomery. Often political folks will tell you that's a good thing, that name brand, but in the case of Twinkle Kavanaugh, could that name brand be a bad thing?
Yeah, because the law of diminishing returns. When you drive down any interstate in the state of Alabama, there's a Twinkle sign every 5 miles,
mm-hmm.
you know, nailed to a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been that way for the last 6 months. She started really early running for lieutenant governor, much earlier than Will Ainsworth
mm-hmm.
did. And then, you know.
Do you think that played against her for starting so early?
I think it was closer than it should have been. I never thought Twinkle Kavanaugh was that great of a candidate. She mm-hmm. just, what does, you know, first of all, do we even know what the lieutenant governor of Alabama does? It's been vacant since Kay Ivey took over the
We governor. Found out when Will Ainsworth came in, he explained the job.
I've had him, Rusty Glover, and Will Ainsworth explain it, and Twinkle Kavanaugh. I still don't know what the lieutenant governor really does.
I've had them all say
yeah.
it. Yeah.
I know what was surprising to me yesterday is finding out that was her real name. I saw the article that she said that her dad named her Twinkle.
I knew the story behind that. She's been a fixture in Republican politics since mm-hmm. for the better part of this century. She's been involved in the Republican Party. She ran the Republican Party of Alabama. And, you know, everyone in this sort of good old boy network of Republican politics in Alabama always spoke highly of Twinkle Kavanaugh.
And when they did, what would they say about her?
They liked the way she... I think my feeling on it is she's one of these people that really just kind of... I wouldn't say she's a pushover, but she kind of fit that mold of what they wanted. In Montgomery, you have all these big players. You have all these sort of tribal, you know, interest in Montgomery, and she kind of bowed to them and made everybody happy in the Republican Party in a way.
Gotcha. So then what went wrong with this race then?
Well, she's just not a candidate. I mean, like, you know, one thing is to run an apparatus like the Republican Party, make a bunch of people happy, and then the other is actually getting voters to come out. You know, and for an office like lieutenant governor, well, you got to run on something. Will Ainsworth, the only reason I think he was even in this was he threw a bunch of Hail Mary passes during the primary. He talked about, you know, arming teachers or arming personnel in schools. He talked about the roads. He did all these things that got headlines and kind of, you know, even though the lieutenant governorship has nothing to do with it, he put those issues out there and got his name out there for that reason. Oh. And for that reason, he went on to be in the primary.
I want to do this, too, as we head to the break. One of the very close races we're talking about here locally, we have one that's for sure going to a recount, but the House District 102, Stringer and Gray. Now the folks at Willie Gray's Facebook page are saying maybe something went wrong, a glitch in the machine. We'll give you details when we get back.
8:36, thanks for getting your workday started with us right here on FM Talk 106.5. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to sales manager Brian Gardner. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning, Dalton.
So tell us what's happening at McConnell Automotive today.
You know, post-election sale, we've got a you know, great, we talk about percents, right? What was the voter percentage turnout?
Well,
we've got a
yeah.
percent play going on right now at McConnell. We've got, in the Buick world, we've got Buick Encore at 18% off. That is a fantastic deal on Buick Encore right now. I really haven't seen those discounts in well over a couple of years. That's easy math to do, y'all. You take the MSRP, take 18% off of it, boom. there's your price. Also at 12% off Buick Enclave right now. Also the new body style Enclave, got about 10 of those in stock to show you. That's also simple math, y'all. GMC Sierra, we've got 13% off plus another 2% if you finance your GM Financial. And don't forget about our courtesy transportation Sierras. I've still got a few of those left in 2018 models. These are nice trucks, y'all. These are crew cab, four drives, the ones you want. I got those close to 20% off now. Get by and see us before 7 tonight. Come see what the percent play is all about.
And those deals you mentioned, those percentages are higher than Alabama's turnout yesterday for the primaries.
Isn't that something? Yeah, we're setting the curve.
There you go. Thank you, Brian.
I got it. Yeah.
As Brian Gardner, go see him and the entire crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 837 FM Talk 106.5. So as we're talking about percentages, and we're before the break there talking about the Republican runoff for lieutenant governor and how narrow that was, with Will Ainsworth at 51% and Twinkle Kavanaugh at 49%. The opposite end of that spectrum is the result for the Alabama Attorney General's race and the runoff. And Steve Marshall, 62% of the vote over Troy King's 38% of the vote. And to talk more about that, joining us right now, Attorney General of the State of Alabama, Steve Marshall. Thanks for being on.
Oh, good morning, Sean. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about this. I know it's time to start resting up. I understand that and getting back to the full-time gig of Attorney General. But that was a hard-fought runoff over the last month.
It was, and obviously lots going on, both personally and professionally, which made it, I think, even more difficult. But last night, it was so gratifying to get the result. And I can tell you that I was amazingly humbled by the support of so many at that percentage. And as a dad, to be able to see the smile on my daughter's face as we stood up there and told the people of Alabama thank you, that was overwhelming.
And with what you have gone through, I mean, it's, we talked about it before before the election, and I got to tell you, I mean, this is not just throwing this out there to throw it out there. I don't know how you did it. I really don't. I don't know how you keep campaigning with what you're going, you know, gone through in your personal life. I mean, I'm awed by that.
Well, you know, but Sean, I mean, look, we've talked about this before. I'm a prosecutor, and what motivates me in the job I have right now is not the position, it's not the title, it's the work. And the one thing that I always came back to is the fact that, you know, it's only by the virtue of the fact that I'm Attorney General that I get to be involved in the things that truly drive me, where I feel like God's called me. And so as I sort of sat with a little bit of nervousness yesterday about what was going to happen, the thing that really just sort of stuck in my mind is I really want to be able to do this work for the next 4 years. And so that's the driver, that's the motivator, and that's what we'll continue to have us work hard. I mean, look, Joseph Sigelman will be a fine candidate, I'm sure. We got work to do. He's got a last name that people know. And so we got to be able to talk specifically about what the contrasts are between us, and we'll do that.
I do want to talk about, if you had the post-it notes sitting there, if it was stuck to the, you know, the dashboard there in your vehicle on 1, 2, and 3 of what you're doing, if you know, going forward, obviously in the job right now, and if you win in November, what you're doing, what are your top three priorities from the perspective of Attorney General?
Well, I mean, it's a great question. I think number one is that we serve victims in law enforcement. I think, you know, still the Attorney General's role is to be that top, and to be the chief law enforcement officer in the state. You know, and of all the silliness that came at the end of the campaign, it was just false. You know, the one thing that probably bothered me the most was apparently a post out there that said Steve Marshall's never been in a courtroom. You know, Sean, that's laughable, because that's what I've done for the last 20 years of my life. I've got the scars and the blood to prove it. It's why Ashley Rich is such a common soul with me, is because I actually embraced the AG or the DA's role the same way I did, is that we were out there trying the worst of the worst cases. So that clearly be a priority. Second thing for me is that we're going to continue to be able to talk about the Second Amendment and make sure, I think that's going to be a clear contrast for us with Joseph Sigelman going forward about the way that we view that. And then finally is simply this idea of fidelity to the Constitution. We're going to make sure that we uphold the rule of law. And in many ways, that means that we're going to be fighting those battles around the country with fellow Republican attorneys general to be able to stand up for the Constitution.
Well, we sure, yeah, Kelly.
And congratulations, A.G. Marshall.
Thank you.
Yes, we appreciate you joining us. And I have to admit, I hopped online and looked at your daughter's tweets, and it was very moving. And she said, I wish more than anything that Mom could have been here tonight for this victory win. She would have been so proud. And I know you've spoken openly about your wife and what this run meant from a family aspect. You know, you've got a couple more months to go at this, but... You know, where do you get that motivation? Where do you pull from, you know, when times get tough? Because you're dealing with something that no other candidate right now is dealing with.
And hopefully no one ever will again. You know, the one thing I think that we've collectively as a family made the conscious decision is that we don't want Bridget to be defined by her death, but instead to be defined by what she did in her life. And that means we need to honor her in ways that matter. You know, she spoke, and it shocked me. Bridget was a very private person. And she wanted to speak at our campaign kickoff. And she got in front of the people that were gathered to share in a very real way about her feelings about me and my public service and what we do. And so I know without a doubt that she believed not only in me personally, but believed that I was the right person for this job. And so the motivator really for me is that having sort of that foundation for me is to be able to share that with the people of this state. You know, one thing that I probably took the most... joy in last night is that my home county in Marshall County that I served gave me 90% of their votes. And so what I've simply got to do over the next several months is to share what Marshall County knows about me with the rest of the state in a way that maybe some haven't heard. And that is I'm a real person with real issues in life. And at the same time, feel like that I'm very much a proactive problem solver and that we're going to try to do that going forward.
And I read a report about the suit you were wearing. Was that?
Yeah.
Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, I was wearing the suit that I wore when Bridget and I got married, and I wore the tie that I wore when I gave a eulogy at the funeral. This is a way of having her with me. Now, Sean, some have said that it shows I'm cheap, that I haven't bought any new clothes over the last 20 years, but that was just a small way for me to honor her. You know, every time I do a closing argument, I wore a tie that I wore when I gave my mother's eulogy because I wanted my mom to kind of be with me in those times in a courtroom. And last night was really my way of being able to say that she was standing with us as well.
And I got to tell you, I'm just on a lighter note, impressed you can still wear the same suit you wore on your wedding day. So that's good for you. Good for you.
Hanging in there.
Attorney General Steve Marshall, thanks for your time, and we will talk again very soon.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Y'all take care.
All right. Will do. There you go. You heard from the AG who, out of those statewide races, the bigger of the margins out there. And Jeff Poore, he talked about it last night. We often ask this, is this because one candidate, is it positive to one candidate or negative to another candidate or a mix there? In other words, Troy King, did Troy King lose this or did Steve Marshall win this?
Well, I don't think Troy King was really ever. I never.
Because I think he lost. I think. I thought Steve Marshall was going to win the whole time, but, you know, I didn't see Troy King build a case for why people should go out and vote for him.
I mean, the day he announced it, were you sitting there thinking, wow, he's really got a shot at this?
I never did.
I think that's true. I thought, well, he'll probably do well in enough to get in a runoff. There was you have a crowded field like that, you know, and you know, no one knows Alice Martin or Chess Bedsole statewide. So,
right.
But people know Troy King. So if you're just handicapping the race on day one and you're looking at it, well, you got to be thinking, well, I think that's, you know, Troy King and Steve Marshall, who's the incumbent. You got to go with the incumbent, even if he was appointed. And that's, you know, Troy King to me, just it was just too much of an uphill climb to
the voters agreed with you. Voters agreed with you at a 20-something point margin last night. We'll talk about that more when we return right here on Mobile Mornings. 850 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. We're talking about the now unnamed new Mazda in the driveway at the Finley household. Still without a name?
He is still without a name. He's nameless. I'm getting warmer, though.
Okay.
Maybe I'll figure it out when I I'm in a Twitter battle right now.
Okay.
Talking about National Hot Dog Day today.
Yes, if we have a second, I want to get into that.
You can do it. Go ahead.
And, yeah, but I want to talk about the.
Well,
because
I'm going to drive the unnamed vehicle to the nearest. There's a number of deals happening around town for hot dogs, and I'm going to get my hot dog with just ketchup on it and leave it alone. That's perfection.
I'm Saquon.
Okay.
You're not gonna bait me into this.
Ben, that's for you. Ben's trying to add in a couple of condiments to the conversation. But anyway, back to Mazda. Yep, having fun. 2018 CX-9. And I was looking at him yesterday, and I need to let everyone know. When you get into this vehicle, it's a luxury vehicle, but doesn't have a luxury price tag. The leather is like butter. It really, really, it is so nice to sit in there and drive. Also, interesting to note, especially if safety is your top priority, like it is ours, this is the 2018 top safety pick based on the IIHS. So the Highway Safety Institute, they make sure to let you know what it means when it comes to these numbers and your family and your priority and your VIP packages, which I call our children, because when you pick a vehicle, yes, it should be beautiful. Yes, it should get you where you want to go quickly, but it's got to be safe. And so today, I just really want to focus on the safety aspect from the sensors, which allow you to know if someone's merging over into your lane, to the backup camera, which allows you to see behind you. I mean, those things matter. And then from a convenience standpoint, because I do have a couple of mama purses and I can never quite find my keys when I need to, it's fine. As long as I'm close to the vehicle, I can push the button on either the driver or the passenger side, and boom, I'm inside the unnamed vehicle. So if you'd like more information, hop on over or drive on over to the all-new D. McCreary Mazda dealership. They're located on the East Service Road of I-65.
All right. We continue our conversation with our friend Jeff Poore with Yellowhammer News and Breitbart and Lanyap, and watching the aftermath of this. There's going to be more to talk about, maybe, as we go towards the general, but somebody was asking, can we have a little break from this? Sure, you can have a little break from Alabama politics, but as I remind you, even though this is all focused leading into primaries and general election, this stuff is at play all the time in Montgomery. And so when we point out different stories or things going on or trends, or like the whole BCA story or the Drummond Cole trial or all these different things, these things are playing into what people don't focus on till election time, but this stuff's going on. There's a reason that Jeff and I talked about the Drummond Cole trial. There's a reason, we talk about different stories between elections, because this is what plays out in elections.
Right, and then it just all the players come together, and it becomes more clear who's really got their game going. What entity in Montgomery knows what they're doing by these election results, because that's what matters. There's a lot of
And where the money is going to go. How does the money flow?
How does the money go? But there's also like the PR campaigns, and you can see how they play it and the way they send out their press releases and who they target. While they're going on talk radio and not going on TV as much, or vice versa, and you see what really works in this state, and you have a better understanding of the landscape when these results come out.
All right, I want to get to the hardest hitting story of the morning that I was stayed away from for a second or two. I was baited into it by Kelly. This it is National Hot Dog Day today, because every day is multiple National whatever day, but today National Hot Dog Day, and the folks over at National Today did their poll on favorite toppings, favorite condiments, because condiments and toppings are different things.
They are.
So condiments and toppings, favorites for Americans. The number one on the list, y'all have at it.
Ketchup.
It's ketchup.
Yes.
Kelly's a big ketchup vote. Dalton, are you a ketchup on your hot dog?
Yeah, I go through phases, but ketchup is certainly included in one of those phases.
Okay, and Jeff?
I can't remember the last time I had a hot dog.
See, there's the outlier. That's
honestly, I can't. I was sitting here thinking, man, it's been a long time.
We'll bring you to the party because we don't have to share.
Not that I don't like hot dogs.
It's just you've not had reason to have a hot dog.
I mean, even in a baseball game, it's like,
right.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I will say this, though. I was going through the airport in Chicago and had a Chicago dog, and I got into a verbal discussion with someone because he had the nerve to come over and tell me how wrong I was for eating a hot dog with just ketchup
on it. Yeah,
I'm like, I'm sorry, did you buy this? Who asked you?
Right. Well, but listen, he has some kind of emotional bond to the hot dogs.
But
here
I did
in
go
Chicago.
Back and buy it his way. I did. I didn't. There was pickles and the cucumbers and salt and pepper and onions and yellow peppers.
Yes.
It was busy. It was busy, and you need a couple of rolls of napkins.
The last time I had a hot dog, I think, was at your house, Kelly.
That was, yeah. And
might have been that Mardi Gras, right after the Mardi Gras. Yep.
You better fix that, Jeffrey, right now.
I don't get these kind of things at my house.
No, you know what? We had hot dogs and we had Kanekka sausage. Yeah, you guys came over for Mardi Gras. We party.
Yeah, sausage dogs are, and we include those. The last hot dog I had was way back on Saturday. During the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament at the rodeo when we came in with the kids. All right, so number one condiment or topping is ketchup. Number two on their list, chili.
Ooh,
I like chili. Chili dogs. But it has to be a special occasion because a chili dog, it is messy. There's a chance I'm going to be wearing half that chili dog on my shirt.
Yeah, I've never understood the people that can eat a chili dog as they drive. Like, get one through the drive-thru and eat the chili dog on the road.
I might as well roll around in the chili dog with my shirt, because that's what it's going to look like if I try to drive and eat a chili dog.
I will say, a chili dog is fantastic in Detroit. You know, we go to Coney Island, and you have a chili dog with some Verner's with crushed ice and french fries with ketchup.
We have Grey Pico.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number three. The real condiment out there, mustard. Ugh. Hot dog people, mustard,
I
represent.
Love mustard.
I love mustard. Ideally, love mustard.
Kind of mustard, right?
I can go from French's to some artisan crafted mustard. I like them all. I like the mustard of my youth, the French's, or if you have some. Oh, this one has monks somewhere in Spain, harvested the mustard seeds and created. I like that too. Cheese is number four on the list. Relish is number five on the list. Cheese and relish are no-go for me on hot dogs.
I'm so stuck on mustard. Ugh.
The mustard's fantastic. Number six, my other favorite. This is a topping that
onions.
Goes
with
my onions. Mustard and onions,
wait,
that's
sweet
the way.
Onions? Or
what you got?
It doesn't matter.
What you got? Number seven.
So you're not telling the secret anytime soon.
Whatever you got. Sauerkraut, number seven.
Goodbye.
I'm not Dalton.
Yeah, I'm all about sauerkraut. I mean, my last name's Orwig.
Right,
so.
Right.
I love sauerkraut.
I am the only one in my family that does not love the sauerkraut. I come from a very sauerkraut-centric family. I am the odd man out.
What did the hot dog do to you that you had to put all this extra on that you couldn't just enjoy some simple old ketchup?
Can we find something here we may agree? Maybe we don't agree on, but this
wait,
one
wait,
just...
Wait. Jeff, yes. How was the hot dog? I just want to know.
It was great.
There
Thank you
go. Mayo, number eight on the list. Mayo. I'm a no-go for mayo. Dalton?
Mayo's a go for me, yep.
I mean,
not all of these at the same time. Like I said, phases. You got to switch up your hot dog game.
Number nine on this list, I could put this on just about anything, jalapenos. I like jalapenos.
I love jalapenos.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even really because it compliments a hot dog. It's because it's jalapenos.
I have upped my jalapeno game, but not on a hot dog, though.
Would you go jalapenos?
No.
Jalapenos with scrambled eggs are really good.
That's good, too. Yeah jalapenos
with
anything.
Wait a minute, we agree?
Yeah, the one thing we agree on. There we go. And number 10 on their list, Jeff watched me last night heap it into my pulled pork plate at Dreamland, coleslaw. I like coleslaw on a dog. I like it on barbecue. I like it everywhere. Coleslaw? Coleslaw?
A little Sneaky Pete's dog.
Yeah,
coleslaw,
Sneaky Pete's, yes. Coleslaw? No. And Dalton?
I like coleslaw. Never put it on a hot dog, though.
Huh. Yeah. Grow up and put it on the hot dog, all right? All right.
So the guys for the coleslaw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's
good
right.
To know. Good to
all
know.
Right, we'll go get a hot dog, and I'll be back with you at noon today for Midday Mobile.
Delicious.